Hello, everyone. Welcome to Queerly Recommended, the podcast where we recommend queer films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Chris Bryant, a contemporary romance writer for Bold Strokes Books, and this week I'm recommending a 2023 film on Netflix.
And I'm Tara Scott. I review sapphic fiction at The Lesbian Review and Smart Bitches, Trashy Books. And this week, I'm recommending a sapphic romance novel that has a drag king as a lead.
Hooray!
Mm-hmm. So, as always, thank you so much to everyone who supports us through Ko-fi or signing up for our Substack and financially supporting us on there. We're so grateful to all of you for just paying to keep this going. We have links to both in our show notes in case you're inclined. And honestly, also thank you for every review and rating on a podcast app. If you haven't done it yet and you feel like that's something you might want to do because you enjoy what we do here, we would love that very much. And if you have any friends that would like to get queer entertainment recommendations, please tell them about this show. So, Chris.
Yes.
I did a thing. And by did a thing, I mean, I went to a thing recently. And it was a lot of fun, so I want to tell you all about it.
Okay.
Because I think other people should check it out, too.
What happened? What'd you do? Where'd you go?
So, okay, remember how recently I recommended Lee Winter's book, Vengeance Planning for Amateurs?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it very much. And we post clips from the show on our different social media feeds. And that one went on to Twitter, and somebody from the Sapphic World Book Club said, hey, you should come to our event. We are having a book club event about this book, and we're going to be interviewing Lee Winter. And I went.
Amazing.
It was so much fun. And I really especially appreciated the structure of it. So the way they did it was an hour from beginning to end, and the first half hour was just the people who were attending. And so it was just like a really fun book club conversation.
That's cool.
So it wasn't super structured, which I think was absolutely fine. It was just like, hey, what did you think about this? Or people just like bringing up their thoughts spontaneously. Anybody could kind of contribute. There were probably 20 or 30 people that were there. Yeah, it was super fun. And then for the last half hour, everybody stays, like your camera can stay on, but like your microphone stays off and you submit questions. And for the last half hour, Lee Winter came and it was just like, you could ask anything.
Wow.
And she answered all these questions about the book, about other books, which of your ice queens would get along, which ones would hate each other. Like, those were some really fun.
I think
those might have been my favorite questions. I don't know who asked them, but it was really, really fun and funny. And so I just wanted to give a plug for that because such a good time. I think I'm going back.
Very cool.
I'm curious to see what the next book is going to be. It might be book dependent, if I'm honest with myself, because I would only want to show up if I'd actually read the book.
Right.
But like, I'm always going to read a Lee Winter book. Who am I kidding? I would never not read that. So that one was, oh, what a perfect first one to show up to. It was just really good. So
that's cool.
They're on Twitter. So you can just follow them there. You can follow them on Instagram. They also have a closed Facebook group that I tried to sign up for. I don't know if I was approved or not.
No,
I don't spend very much time on Facebook because I hate Facebook now.
I know. I always forget. Oh, yeah. Facebook.
Adbook.
Right.
Adbook.
Right. Adbook.
Suggested postbook.
Real book.
Real. Mm-hmm.
Lots of reels. Lots
of reels. Yeah. I know.
You know, it's awful. One time I watched a video of somebody getting a fade.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's all the reels I see are fades. Which is kind of cool because it is really cool to see the transformation. Yep. But also, I would like to see like baby seals and kittens and things like that. So that's why I go over to TikTok. That's where I
mine
get that.
Mine is like, my Facebook reels, it's all that they're recommending. Well, occasionally it's cute baby stuff. But there's a lot of like weird food things. Or one time I watched like a lock reconstruction. So, you know, like for hair, like dreadlocks.
Oh, okay.
Like, mm-hmm. So it was somebody who they needed to get them kind of retuned. And then it's just been nothing but a whole bunch of those. And I was like,
yeah,
I was curious about the process.
Yeah.
I don't.
Like I can open up Facebook right now and my reels will either be like crazy kids shots playing sports, you know, like half court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, underhand throw or whatever.
Oh my god!
Or it's the
fade. Do you have it open? Do you have it
I'm
open?
Opening up right now.
I'm opening mine too. And I'm going to scroll until I find the reels because I'm so curious to see if I'm telling the truth or if I'm lying. I mean, I'm trying to tell the truth.
Where I don't even know where to find. All of a sudden they just show up. So where do we go to find the reels?
You just got to scroll for a while.
Oh, okay.
So the first one is, for some reason, it says white boy dreads on it. I'm not sticking with that. Next one is some here.
Oh, here it is.
Some kind of like gelatinous jiggly food. Oh, God, there's a hairless cat. What did I do?
What are you doing? Yeah, I have...
retwist lock transformation.
Apparently, I like it when people do, like, trying to get things into cups after, you know, bouncing little balls and takes them 5 hours to get it into a certain cup at a certain time. Yeah. So I have that, but I have haircuts, buzz cuts, I have pitching. Oh, and I have car wrecks.
Oh, God.
Apparently, I watched car wrecks. I like watched one or something.
I think I'd rather watch people get fades than that.
Right.
Although,
for sure.
To be fair, I watch it every 4 weeks when I go to my stylist. So
I also watch a lot of parkour.
That's fun, though.
That is fun. It really is. Parkour.
Parkour
I like
is
to...
at least fun.
Anytime I see somebody trip or something, I always yell that because I think it's fun. Have fun with it, you know? Parkour.
Yeah.
It's always fun in the office to yell at when Dale trips. Parkour.
Aww.
I know, he's like 63. And it's funny because
he's old and he's like, fuck you.
He's like 6'5" and he doesn't like pick up his feet. You know, your mother growing up, pick up your feet when you walk, pick up your feet. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't. And he sloughs along and he like drags his feet and he stumbles.
Oh, no.
Yell parkour, you know, and so everybody you can hear people giggling from different offices because then they know somebody has fallen or tripped and I have made
amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
I'm kind of an ass.
All right, so what have you been watching recently?
Okay, because we all know I love The Walking Dead. I actually pay for AMC Plus. Mm-hmm. Which means you get to see the episode of The Walking Dead a week early. So I'm actually as I mentioned last time we spoke, we recorded, we had the Rick and Michonne series, Those Who Live. So I'm already 4 episodes in and there's only 2 episodes left. It was a 6 episode series.
Okay.
And so now I'm very anxious. I'm still very anxious. And I think that Rick and Michonne better get home to their kids or there really will be an apocalypse as fans uprise everywhere, you know, because this is the relationship we have been waiting for years and years and years. They have been apart for almost 8 years. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, and he didn't know that she was pregnant.
So he found out
that, and this is no surprise. I mean, maybe heads up warning, but I mean, it's been out.
Sure.
By the time this drops, it'll be done. The season will be done.
Yeah.
But he had no idea that Michonne was pregnant with RJ, Rick Jr. So, and he's been like brainwashed by this. Here's the thing. He's staying at a place. I don't even know what it's called, but it's a city and he can't escape. And I'm like, how can you not escape from a city? Like, literally, how can you not, like, sneak out? I told Tab, I'm like, jump in the water. Like, jump in the water and swim down. Like, find a nice summer day and just jump in the water and go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, I had a hard time believing that he just couldn't get away. Anyway.
No, it doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't. So, yeah. But, so I have, like I said, only 2 episodes left. I'm very sad.
Yeah.
Because as much as I love, you know how much I love this.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I totally binge watched Apples Never Fall, and that's
what
on Peacock.
That?
Okay, so it's a like a drama series. There's like 7 episodes, and it's got a huge cast. It has Annette Bening, Sam Neill, and they are Joy and Stan Delaney. And they run this, they're retired, but they used to run a tennis academy. They have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls, and they would push them to be tennis players. Like, you need to be the one. They were looking for the one. Mm-hmm. And so it's like right now all the kids are adults and they are all completely dysfunctional. And the story is Joy disappears and the rest of the family unravels while she's gone. Oh. So, and you think like all these horrible things, it's told in now and then, like now this is what's going on, but this is how they got there. And this is what happened. And this is how they got there type thing. Yeah. So the whole thing is like Joy disappeared. What happened to her? And just how quickly family turns on one another. It's there's so much to unpack there. And there is one of the daughters is queer, but it was still very unsettling. I mean, it wasn't a good queer storyline, so that's why I'm not recommending it as an official recommendation. Mm-hmm. But it was enough to keep me interested, like just the whole story alone, because I'm like, oh, I just want to know what happens type thing. Yeah. It's one of those. And there, it was from a book. So, yeah, I don't know who wrote it, but...
did it have a good payoff?
Yes. Yes, it did. I can't even talk about it, but there was a lot... There's a lot going on. There are so many layers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I binged that in like the weekend or whatever. Whoa. And also because I was so into Nurses, the Canadian show from my lovely co-host up there in Canada, I decided to start The Resident, which is a series down here in the United States. It's really good. I'm on season two. I'm at the end of it. There's six seasons total. Very limited queerness, but for some reason I'm on this medical kick right now. And now I'm like Dr. Bryant here. Like I know everything. I can diagnose everything. I am that good.
You're gonna pick up a bunch of Radcliffe's old romances again. I am. I'll be like,
this is wrong. You can't do that.
Yeah. That's
so I'm
right.
gonna tell a real doctor. No, that's not right. That can't happen. So, I'm still being the same jerky self, like how that they would never do that. That can't happen right after surgery. Mm-hmm. But it's entertaining because everybody, like the characters are so, so vastly different. You know, they have made it very obvious what they were doing as far as character placement or character, I don't know, for hire. I don't really know what to call it, but it's a good show. I like it. I'm sad that it got canceled, but at least I can prepare myself that it'll be the end after the sixth season.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So that is what I'm watching and doing. What about you? What have you been reading, watching, doing, playing?
Yes. Okay. So I am still watching the Drag Races. I think I talked about this a little last time, how funny I find it that like Plain Jane has been so... like just reading the queens and just like throwing shade and just throwing these little barbs out all the time and how, and I was talking about how on Untucked, she couldn't really handle it. Well, they pulled it into a main episode this past week, which I thought was super interesting. Cause again, she's been like trying to make the others doubt themselves. And a couple of them were poking fun at her for being kind of in the bottom of the previous episode. And she flipped out and it's like, wait. So you can poke at everyone else and you can't take it?
Yeah.
I thought that was super interesting. But it was a good episode. UK versus the World, I actually think is one of the better of the All-Star seasons in the world. Because it's basically All-Stars, but like all the franchises around the world. And the talent on it has just been so incredible. I'm a little worried for Marina. What's her last name? I think it's like Marina Summers. So she was from the Philippines series and she's such an incredible, she's an incredible dancer. She does these gorgeous looks. The next episode is a roast. And I just don't know if she can do a roast challenge because it's a comedy challenge and it's a really specific type of comedy. Does it translate there? Is it a part of the humor there? I don't know. Like there's a big tradition of roasts in the UK and in the US. Mm-hmm. But I worry that some of the other queens and especially her might be disadvantaged by that. And I hope she makes it because she should probably win. She should definitely be in the top four.
I hope she makes it.
I know, me too. But okay. So I finished a show and it's your fault. And it's Love is Blind season six.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
A part of me wonders, like, should I go back and watch seasons 3 through 5? And the rest of me thinks, I'm probably fine.
You're fine. But you got to see how many couples really did make it. And some of them are pregnant.
Yep. A bunch of them are pregnant.
So it's like the relationships are lasting. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of fun.
Something I kind of loved. And I feel like the people who were going to watch this, like, I guess just be warned, we're going to, like, let's just do spoilers. Because also, if you were going to watch it, you probably would have watched it by now.
Right.
But the reunion episode, there were a couple things that really stood out to me.
Delicious.
And the first was that I thought it was super interesting that they called out Sarah Ann, did this video that she put on her socials where she basically saying, like, leave me alone, because everybody thought she was horrible for multiple valid reasons.
Yes.
She was awful. But then she was like, look, it's a reality show. It's entertainment. And the way Vanessa Lachey just went into her on that. And then also they brought Trevor on, who I talked about last time, because everybody was like, protect Trevor.
Save Trevor.
Was the sweetest. Yeah. And then we all found out he had a girlfriend. And I couldn't believe he showed up. First of all, that's the only thing I'll say to his credit, is he actually showed up.
But I'm sure it was like, to save face.
I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was very much like a what the fuck. And so I really appreciated that Nick and Vanessa Lachey were basically saying, if you're going to do this for the wrong reasons, if you're going to fuck around, like, you are messing with people's actual lives. And we will call you out on stage in front of everybody. We will make an example of you. And I really respected that.
And he's like, can I go?
I know. Nick's
like, get out of here.
I know. It was so good. That's... And also, like, yeah, get out. Like,
can we talk about Vanessa's chest?
Sure.
I'm talking like the whole thing. Like, she was like oiled up in something. It just like, it just made her skin just look so beautiful. And I was just so like enamored with it. Just because, I don't know, like, I mean, it was a lot. There was a lot going on there, but I was just like, she was revealing a lot. And that surprised me. I was not expecting that.
The dress, it was interesting. Like, weird. Around the cleavage, there was the neckline around the cleavage was very different. So basically there was a cutout. It wasn't a cutout because there was like the top wasn't connected, but there was this design that was like, Hey, would you like to see where the boobs touch each other? This is where the boobs touch
look
each other.
Look at me. Yeah. And I was just like, but her skin was so like perfect. And she, you know, I have a thing with, you know, no freckles, no moles or anything. It's just, if it's beautiful skin, I have to appreciate it. Cause like, you know, you don't see that very often. And so it was like, wow, like, she has beautiful skin.
Yeah.
But I digress. Let's talk about the rest of it. So.
One couple got married, and it was the couple you predicted.
Yes,
you called it right away.
I loved it because I love love.
You do. I still think they were the most boring in the pod.
Are you saying love is boring? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying their conversations were boring, and I wanted to fast forward them all. But from the moment the doors opened so they could see each other's faces, and they ran and they started making out, I was all in on Amy and Johnny, because I was like, okay, these people like each other. And even like when they went to get married, I had no doubts about them, because it was like, no, these are two people who are going to marry each other.
Right.
They're so happy. They love each other. Their families were so cute together.
And it's like their families hang out more together without them than...
Yes.
Like, it's just such, everything was such a match made for the families and for both, you know, both contestants.
I felt like as soon as I saw Johnny's parents, I was like, oh, that's how his face was made. This face was made from these two people. Face was made. This makes, because I looked at Amy's parents and I was like, I don't really get it. Maybe she looks like one of her grandmothers or something. But Johnny, I was like, okay. Take his dad's facial structure and his mother's eyes. And probably something else, and you put them together in one face.
Yeah. So I mean, they're just so cute. I mean, even when they showed like bits of like their playfulness on whatever like their reels or Instagram or whatever they had, it was just
within the
year
after.
So cute. Yeah. So this was like a year later. This reunion is a year after it was filmed. So that's how much time. And Jeremy, remember you were like texting me, you're like, oh my gosh, what was her name? Was it Lauren?
Laura.
Laura. You're like, Laura, you're like, oh, she's horrible. And I'm just sitting back going, just
Jeremy's worse.
Fucking wait. Just Jeremy's you wait. Worse. Like, I'm laughing going, oh, wait till you get to the jet ski scene.
Well, so what I didn't like about Laura, there were a couple of things.
Yeah.
The one was AD confronted her about this like inappropriate thing she said, and she wouldn't take accountability. And that kind of sucked. Although then she like made a point of trying to take accountability during the reunion. That was a little weird and uncomfortable. But then she's also at a bar with Jessica, and she's upset because Sarah Ann has texted her man and said, if you ever change your mind. And then Jess is like, well, Jimmy, and maybe I should. And Laura basically encouraged her to do the same thing. Even though she was so mad that Sarah Ann texted Jeremy, she's like, maybe there is a chance for you with Jimmy. Maybe you should go check that out. And I was like, what are you doing? What?
Like, there's double standards. Don't you know that? I mean, total double standards.
Apparently. Yeah. I did love seeing her tell off Jeremy. That was my favorite.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. So I can dislike her for one reason and also like her for another reason. That's where I landed
for
on
sure. I really appreciated her strong, her strength. I mean, she comes across as a very strong woman who at the very beginning, when you were just getting to know her, she was like a no bullshit type person.
Yes.
And you're like, I can respect that. I didn't realize that it was like bitchiness on a certain level that I was not, I'm not familiar with. But at the same time, I'm glad that she could speak out and say, like, a lot of times people bottle that shit up and it just,
it's true.
It doesn't, you know, you need to get that out. And she's the kind of person that gets it out, you know, and she's just not taking shit. She just let it all out. I mean, and it could have been done differently. And it was probably all about, TV. I'm sure that was it. But I mean, the guy was a total jerk. Like the biggest jerk.
Terrible. He was like unrepentant. Oh, he was a big old baby. He was, I agree with her. He should kick rocks with open-toed shoes.
Right. And I watched this TikTok. Of course, take that for what it is.
Yeah.
But I kind of fell down the Love is Blind TikTok hole.
Oh, yep.
And because it happens. And one of his exes back in 2013, 2014, somewhere around there, she was like, he held a gun to her. Like, there was a whole thing about this. Whoa. And she goes on and she's like, she couldn't say his name. She's like, his name is Schmeremy. Schmeremy. So I'll just refer to him as Schmeremy. So, but she has this whole thing about like just how controlling he is. No, and you could kind of see that because like Sarah Ann would always look to him whenever there was a question. Yep. Like, can I answer that, honey? Will you let me please? Like she's that person, you know, like looking for permission before speaking. Yes. And like, I'm out on that. That's just, that's unacceptable.
And Laura was not like that, which is also part of why it wasn't going to work out.
Exactly.
And then Chelsea and Jimmy.
Ugh.
It's Jimmy. Funny. I was watching it and like, I know everybody's like, ugh, Jimmy. But at the same time, between the two of them, like I ended up liking her, but also I understand why he broke up with her.
You liked Chelsea? Stop.
Sort of. Stop. No, I didn't love, she was not my favorite.
She was awful. Like,
I think she's sweet, but I think her downfall was wine. Like,
or whatever, martinis or whatever she had. That, like, I just,
when she would drink, she would pick fights with him.
Right. Over nothing. I mean, that part was bullshit. I agree. That part was bullshit. But also, I mean, she was whining about everything. Like when she drinks like one drop, it was an excuse to go ahead and for bad behavior.
Yes.
Oh, I was drinking. It was the martini. It was the wine talking. And
I liked her when she was sober was the thing. Like when she was sober, I liked her. But then when she drank, and you're right, then she would go and she would blame it later. So I didn't like it when she was sober and she would blame when she was drinking.
Right.
But like, she seemed like she was fun and more together. And then as soon as she would have that like fucking serum. So apparently they got back together after recording kind of the main season, but then they broke up again because he just really felt like he couldn't trust her. So their big thing for people who haven't watched, and you're not, if you're still listening at this point, you haven't watched, you're not planning on watching, so it's fine. But when they were not on the cameras, at one point he told her that he had slept with one of his best friends, who is this, because he has friends that are women. And so, but he,
and they were on the show. They showed up on, they were like the support when they got to meet, you know, the girlfriend. And so, I mean, I looked at these girls and I'm like, okay, he's fucked one or two. Like I could tell, like they were like, I don't know what happened, but I felt like something happened. And then turned out something did happen. I was right.
She was drunk and Chelsea threw it in Jimmy's face and
on camera.
And that was the big thing that broke the trust for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually a super fair thing, because he told her he felt like it was important for her to know that this person who is a big part of his life is somebody he'd slept with, and he wanted to keep everything on the up and up. And he said, I need you to not say this on cameras because I don't think that's fair for her, which is also, again, a fair enough. Like, he's kind of sharing his story, but like, he doesn't want to share somebody else's story on national television.
But do you think also that, I mean, she was probably, they're so pretty. You could tell me if you slept with them. I mean, it's okay.
Well,
I
feel like the alcohol. At one point, he said he told her in the pods.
Oh, maybe? I don't know. I can't imagine she would have been okay meeting them knowing that. I feel like that was probably told out. She probably said, I know that you slept with one of them. You can tell me.
Maybe.
I feel like that seems more logical.
I felt like the weirdest part of that fight, and where if I was him, where I probably would have been even more done than the thing that made him done, was that, like, so he went out for a drink. He was gone. He had one drink. He was out for an hour and a half total. And she's like, well, but partying is too important to you, and I don't want to be out with you if you're going to be partying. And I was like, he went for one drink because
he
invited
her
friend's birthday. Exactly. And he invited her, and she didn't want to go. And so for her to go on and on and on.
I mean, it went on and on and on and on and on. It was unreal.
And I'm sorry, but if you're going to be 30 and you're going to act like you're 16, like, I don't want to be with someone who's partying. And like, if your definition, like, if he was like a cocaine addict and was drinking all the time.
Or was a hitter or something. Right. I mean,
but instant. He went for one drink.
he went for a drink.
Meanwhile, how many drinks did she have while he went out for his one drink?
Right.
That was the reaction. So,
I mean, you just kind of knew that it was never going to work, because, you know, the whole I look like Megan Fox thing. It was never going to work, because the minute he saw her, like, he was like staring at the cameras like, what?
Yeah, I know. Megan Fox. I know. And then the other couple, AD and Clay. So I was a little heartbroken about the way theirs went down, because
me too.
I actually thought he showed such maturity. I don't think he should have done it at the altar. He should have done it before the altar. Mm-hmm. But to say, I don't think I can be a good husband to you right now. I don't think I'm ready to be married, but I want to do the work and I want to be with you while I do the work. And then she's like, well, you're a fucking idiot. And I was like, wait, what? And then it turns out he actually went for therapy.
Right.
That he had been doing it in the meantime. So that one just made me sad, because I thought, like, we should be celebrating his therapy and his self-work and trying to deal with his trauma. And I mean, like, some of the stuff we learned about him is fucked up. Like, his dad taking him with him while his dad is cheating on his mom. Like, you shouldn't bring a kid with you
It's okay, son. This is the way that it's okay to behave. Men can do this. Women can't. Yeah.
Like, don't you want your life partner to work through that trauma and learn how to have healthy relationships?
Right.
I didn't understand that.
I really liked AD. I mean.
Yes.
I feel like that there was still kind of hope at the end. Did you kind of pick up on that? Because he's like, yeah, you're still the one for me. And then I think Vanessa said, would you still date him? And she kind of covered her mouth and she looked away like, you know, so I don't know.
She seemed almost surprised when he was talking about the work he'd done. And like, I was also really impressed that not only had he gone for therapy, but he talked about like going to multiple therapists to make sure that he found one that was good for him, which to me is, again, one of those like, no, this is someone who's taking the process seriously.
Right. Yeah.
So I know. I hope.
See, so people really are in it for love. It's not just entertainment. That's why I watch
Sarah Ann.
I know Sarah Ann. She's
Yeah.
And can I say, like, do a shout out to Jessica? Can we talk about her? Like, I'm like, I don't. She has resting. Yeah, she has like resting bitch face, but she's so beautiful. And it's just like, I want to dislike her, but then she says all the right stuff and then I like her. It's
really sweet.
And it's just like, ugh, I don't know what to do.
I know.
Do I like her? Do I not like her? I don't know.
I kind of love that she and Chelsea are best friends, even though both of them dated Jimmy in the pods. Like,
Yeah, that's, yeah.
I'm also not going to lie. I was mildly delighted to hear that Sarah Ann was kicked out of the group chat.
Yeah, and Jessica did it. See, and that's what I like, because Jessica was like very real too. Like she was very, she did not shy away from anything. She wasn't out to pick a fight, and she didn't like get loud like Laura did. She just said, this is, I kicked you out. I did this because of this.
So because very you're dramatic. Not a girl's girl.
Right. You're not a girl's girl.
I think was the statement. I was like, okay. So yeah, that was pretty fun. So Love is Blind. I finished that.
Yay.
And then I read a couple things. I read a graphic novel. It's called Firebugs by Nino Bulling, who I believe is a German author.
Hmm.
The art style in it is very interesting. It's very... The line work is very flowy, but it's all like black, white, and red. So very, very stark look to it.
Mm-hmm.
The main character is Incan, and they're torn about whether to do some kind of a transition to being like male rather than non-binary. Should they change their name to Henri? Because the characters are French. You know, should they get top surgery? Incan has this really lovely supportive partner, Lily, who is a trans woman. Lily is also dating Anya. They're all kind of in like the club scene in Paris, since there's like drugs and stuff. But despite having this kind of good community around Incan, their angst about transitioning is really, really high. And then it's also interesting because their anxiety about their own identity and transitioning actually runs in parallel to anxiety that they have about climate and climate change and, you know, literal fires on the earth. And at the same time as Incan is having this angst about fires on the earth, you know, Anya is saying, well, you should just burn down your personality so you can rise again out of the ashes. It's very good. And I do recommend it, especially like if you're looking for more trans representation, if you're looking for stories that don't have neat and simple answers, but definitely like don't expect a happy, like there's not a terrible ending to it. It doesn't end with like, you know, Incan going off and harming themselves or anything like that. But I got to the end and I was like, this feels European to me, which is not at all a bad thing. I think I just read so many things from North America that I expect everything to be tied up in a neat bow all the time. And this isn't that. And I think that's a beautiful thing that canon should be celebrated. So yeah, if you like stories that are more complicated, that don't have those neat tight ends, if you want kind of more of that trans experience in a story, and if you're interested in seeing how that can kind of like interplay with angst about the climate, then yeah, this is a great graphic novel. And then I know I keep going on and on all these things. Last
we have
thing.
Time.
So I read Rachel Lacey's new book cover story, which I believe is released today. And by today, I mean the day the episode is dropping, not even the day that we're recording.
Ooh.
So a week from when we're recording. And so Cover Story is a follow-up to her romance called Stars Collide. You don't have to have read that. I didn't. And I understood this story perfectly well. So I might go check it out, though. So it's about Natalie Keene. She's this like really popular Hollywood actress. She's an out lesbian, but she has a problem. Her former stalker is getting out of prison soon.
Stop.
8 years after he kidnapped her for a day. And here's the thing. When he kidnapped her, he didn't do anything horrible, except like there was no sexual assault or anything like that. But yeah, like he took her somewhere for 12 hours. And I mean, I don't think it would be surprising to hear that she has some PTSD after that experience. Right. It was pretty horrible. She has a home that's kind of like a fortress. And she has a bodyguard that goes everywhere with her. But with this guy getting out of prison, she wants more protection. And at the same time, like her team thinks, well, maybe there's a way that we can help you feel more protected. And could we also possibly get the paparazzi to not focus on this guy getting out of prison? And so the solution is, what if she gets a second bodyguard who's a woman and everyone will think that that's her girlfriend?
Well, that sounds fun.
It is fun.
That really does.
So Taylor Vaughn is a side character in Stars Collide. Mm. She's former military. She's a bodyguard to the stars. when the book starts, she'd had back surgery a few months prior, and she's just like ready to get back to work because she's fucking bored after 3 months out of the field. And so a gig like Natalie's could probably be perfect. Natalie, because of this experience, she's extremely closed off. She has like one best friend who she's kind of more transparent with her feelings about this person. But otherwise, no, she doesn't date. She doesn't let people in. And meanwhile, like Taylor's with her all the time. She's moved in to Natalie's home because, again, she's supposed to the media be her girlfriend. So there's this 3-month contract. So she's like on the set with her all the time as she's filming this new movie. They've moved in together, and Natalie sort of starts to slowly open up to her. And so now the question is, can she trust in the idea or the possibility that she could have a future with safety? And that means she could, can she even be open to a romantic relationship? And so, I don't know, like, what's not to love about this premise?
Right. It's got a lot of juicy tropes.
Right? Like, yes. I love fake relationship stories already. I love celebrity romances. Yes. And so the idea of a bodyguard being a part of that mix means there's also forced proximity.
Right.
They can't spend very much time apart. And so I thought it was interesting seeing the way the chemistry built in this one. I don't feel like it's fair to call Natalie an ice queen. Like, maybe she sort of kind of is, but if she is, it's really purely by circumstance.
Right.
And I don't know, maybe that would be an interesting conversation to have at some point. And I think I would need to like go back and reread certain parts because I could see a case being made in either direction possibly for it. It's certainly not an ice queen in the same way of like, ooh, look at that icy woman who says these like sharp Barbie things and she's fun to read because she's sort of bitchy and we like it. Like, it's not like that. It's the like closed off. She is a vault. And so their interactions are kind of stilted and awkward for a while because Natalie doesn't want to let her in. She knows this is only a 3-month contract. But there are things that happen along the way that help her realize that she cares. And so then as she acknowledges these moments and these feelings, we start to see the chemistry flourish, which is quite good. I'm also not typically one to do, you know, like some people, they'll read a book and then they're automatically like, oh, if this was a movie, I would cast this person in this role. And this.
Right.
Okay. That's not me. I'm not the most visual reader. I don't have a movie playing in my head the whole time, most of the time. But for Taylor, I kept imagining Katie O'Brien. Do you know who that is?
I just looked her up. And yes, she was in The Mandalorian.
Yes, she was in The Mandalorian. Very hot. And she's the beefy one that's in Love Lies Bleeding. And I was like, okay, but what if she bleached her hair and then she could be her and it would be perfect. This also, if you like pets in your books, this has... Yes. 2 big dogs and 1 baby kitten.
Oh, I'm in.
Right? I'm in. How cute is that?
I'm in. Right.
I also like that Natalie is Canadian. She is from Edmonton, which is only a few hours from me. Yeah, she's super nice.
She's like your neighbor.
Basically.
Yeah.
The only thing that was weird is at one point, so she's filming in Victoria, British Columbia, I think, or maybe just the island. Yeah, it's gorgeous there, but there was something mentioned about the weather that made it sound like the climate was similar to Edmonton and the climates could not be
further apart.
Further apart.
I know. I'm doing British Columbia right now in my book. Ooh. And so I had to study the weather because they go on a hike and I'm like, what's the temperature at this time of day and this time of year? So I had to do stuff like that. So yeah, weather is very important.
Yeah. Like it's very, very, very dry here and it's very, very, very wet there. So, but I mean, of all the complaints I could have, that's like tidiest. And then the only other note, and I don't think this is a complaint at all. This is just me sharing information that I think could help other people enjoy the book more. Mm-hmm. So because Natalie had a stalker, I kept waiting for the stalker to come back and do something awful. Because usually romances where there's a stalker in the mix is a romantic suspense. This is not a romantic suspense. It is a romance. And so instead, like, it's not this like, and he's going to come back with a knife or anything like that. We have a character arc that's about dealing with trauma and kind of finally wrapping your arms around a trauma that's years and years old. And I thought that was handled really well. And so I want to go back and read it again.
Oh,
keeping that, that you in know, mind.
Right.
Now that exactly. I know, mm-hmm. I know. And so it's like, I apologize if anybody feels like that spoilery. It's not a real word. Why am I correcting myself?
It's all right. We can make it up. It's okay. Spoilery. I like it.
But I think if you can go in knowing that, you'll be better positioned to appreciate what's there, because what's there is actually like, it's really, it's fun. It's engaging. It's lovely. And I definitely recommend this one. Frankly, now, I almost decided to have two official recommendations and then was like, well, that's cheating. So now I'm just cheating by putting this in the what I've read recently section.
Now, keep in mind, there are a lot of readers out there who do like the angsty, oh my gosh, type books. Like they, mm-hmm. they love that. Like they, the more angst, yes. the better. And I can't, that's too stressful for me. Like I like having yeah. a heads up.
Yeah. And I do think there's some angst to this, but I also think it's worth, like, I'm basically saying expect a contemporary romance. Don't expect right. a romantic suspense, which I think is a fair enough. I'm making sure people see the appropriate label. Yeah. Also, some of those romantic suspenses can get gnarly and I'm not into that either.
Yeah, there's no way. I just have to like abandon the book at that point. I mean, it's hard enough for me to watch here's the problem too. Like when you watch movies and shows, especially that have been on for several years.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like, Google, does yep. this person die? Son of a bitch. Why did I wait. Google that? You know?
Wait. Wait.
I know.
Chris Bryant.
I know.
Who has been giving me shit for 4 years or longer. It might even predate the podcast. You've been giving me shit for reading right. ahead in books.
Well, to be fair, what I like to do is Like, I'll look up something,
yeah.
but then you read something else. And you're like, son of a bitch, why did I look that up? Because it spoils something else. It's not like I want to know if this person dies. I just want to go. Like, what I was doing in The Resident was I was trying to find out, what's her name? Jenna. She was married to Channing Tatum. Jenna Dewan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to know if she was coming back. If she's like, if she was a regular, because she had this kind of relationship with one of the doctors. So then I Google it, like, is she coming back? And then, like, all this other shit popped up, so I know what happens. And I'm like, son of a bitch. You know, and I'm a speed reader, so it's like, I just glance at the page, and it's in my head. So it's just kind of like, I can't, there's nothing I can do about it. So so I know some things, but yeah, I try not to. I don't like to Google it unless it's, hard. Like, super tense, and I just can't handle it. So, but that's not romance. That's not romance. That's different. Like, romance is always going to have a good ending.
Well, listen, I already told you that I stopped doing it after I started taking medication for my ADHD. I love that. So at least we know why now.
That's true. Now we know.
All right, Chris, Brian, what is your official recommendation this week?
So my official recommendation is Naiad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I finally watched the movie, even though I had been fighting it for so long. So truth be told, I'm not an Annette Bening fan, except for The American President. Like every single
the
person
greatest
loves.
Rom-com ever made.
So it was very, very good. I really enjoyed it. She still had a couple scenes in there that I wasn't crazy about, but I still loved the movie. I thought it was really cute, very well done. But overall, I'm just not a big fan of hers. Just
okay,
not.
But why?
I think she's always like overacted, in my opinion. Like in some of the movies, I feel like she's one of those people who like overacts. That's just my opinion. But Naiad came out and Jodie Foster was in it. And like Jodie Foster, you know, she was up. I think they were both up for awards in this movie.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And she's also one of our lesbian leaders, Jodie Foster. So, of course, I have to support Jodie Foster. I mean, I've loved all of her movies. I can't think of a single one I didn't like. I haven't liked over the years.
And doesn't she play a lesbian in this one?
Yeah.
How wonderful.
And of course, here's what I found out about myself. Like watching this movie, it turns out I love Annette Bening's voice. Like she has an incredibly
that
sexy
is the
voice.
Thing.
That's
that,
it. That's what it is. And the older she gets, the sexier it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and say that. So, and I really didn't realize it until I started watching this movie. And then I was also watching Apples Never Fall and she's in that too. So like all of a sudden it's all Annette Bening and it's her voice. It is her voice.
That's you need to
it.
See if she does any audiobooks. You can listen to it on your way to GCLS.
I'll have to look. Yeah, because I'll be 6 hours in the car. So I'll have to I'll have to look. But anyway.
So what's this thing about?
So NIAID, it's actually based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is in 2010, 60-year-old Diana NIAID, this is the blurb, by the way, resolves to accomplish the one thing that has eluded her. A 110-mile nonstop swim from Cuba to Florida, which she had unsuccessfully attempted 30 years prior.
Good Lord.
So, yeah. So she appoints her best friend and former partner, Bonnie Stoll, to train her. Despite public skepticism because of her age, Diana relocates to Key West with Bonnie to help train. So that's the, that's kind of the story. And I have an ego. We all know this. You know, I make fun
we
of myself.
We all have egos. All,
yeah. You know, mine's a little inflated. I get it. It's not super big, but it's there. But Diana NIAID, I mean, dear Lord, like her, like the way that she is portrayed in this movie, it is not flattering at all. And they also, the way I kind of like it, and I can't remember if it was during the movie or afterwards, because like there's a whole thing after, you know, when the credits run, you know, at the end of the movie, and then they show like real life snippets of like her being interviewed by Johnny Carson, her being interviewed by blah, blah, blah. And like, she is just like, she is somebody I would stay away from just because she is so, it's cocky. It's not even overconfident.
Oh,
it's cocky. And
yeah.
that comes across. And so, and Annette Bening really does a good job doing that. You know, it's just, she almost is almost unlikable in this movie, you know, but she has a lot of people who believe in her. And so that made it sweet. You know, yeah. Bonnie has given up so much to, because she loves her friend. They used to date a long time ago. And she really wants her friend to obtain this goal. Like, she's had this goal forever and ever. And it took her like 5 times before she was actually able to complete this task. So she didn't actually finish it. She did it when she was like 64.
Oh my goodness.
Like it was either like storms that caught her off guard, you know, and they had to pull her up. Sometimes she got stung by jellyfish and paralyzed her, and they had to resuscitate her on the boat. I mean, I'm like, I'd give up. Like, there's no, I can't even swim one length of the pool. I'm not a swimmer. I don't know if you know this about me. Like, I am a late in life swimmer.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
not
don't
good.
Worry about it. I never
I am
learned properly.
Not good. I don't even know how to float. Like,
you
I can
will
swim.
Not be, you will not find either of us at the pool.
At the pool at GCLS. Nope. We're going to be at the bar. Yeah. We're going to be somewhere else, but it's not going to be
correct.
At the pool.
The lounge, the restaurant.
Right. Yeah. We are not. We are land babies. We are landlocked babies. We really are. It was just never my thing. I think I learned to swim when I was 9. I learned to swim when I swim and ride a bike when I was 9. That's weird, isn't it? That's old. Yeah. Anyway, so the thing that I liked at the very end, you know, how I was saying that they showed like clips and blah, blah, blah. It's really cool because they have a picture of the real Bonnie and Jodie Foster and the real Diana and Annette Bening, like in a four picture.
Oh, they got
it
them
was
all
really
together.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm sure that they got a lot of, you know, feedback from them. Yeah. And that's probably why they're great actors anyway, but to even have that extra bit of knowledge. I'm sure it really elevated their acting, and it was really good. They did a fantastic job.
So what do you think were some of the like best parts of the movie or the things that are worth showing up for?
Obviously the great acting, Annette Bening's voice, the queerness in it, and sports. There are some, I mean, we love sports. I will watch anything sport related, any movie that has sports. And it's really interesting because I love sports, but I'm not like diehard, but there's something really emotional about sports movies. Like every time Rudy comes on, I'm bawling. I've seen that movie 30 times and I still cry. Like remember the Titans, same thing. Like it doesn't even matter what the sport is.
No,
they know how to make it.
Victory.
It's the team victory. It's the personal like accomplishments. It's just, you know, pushing themselves. It's it's believing in yourself enough to be able to do something. And sports, I think people just pushing themselves and pushing themselves. And you know, we go back in time to like the 1960 Olympics and you see like a figure skater do like a double toe loop and you're like, oh my God, it's the most amazing thing. And now you look at how far they've come and these people push themselves physically. And it's just, it's amazing to me. And like to swim 103 mile, but she kind of veered off course, but swim 110 miles. I mean, I couldn't even walk that in a year.
No.
Like, and she does it in like, I think it's like 5 days or whatever. But can you imagine that? I mean, your body would just be, there's no way.
Oh yeah. It's going to like seize up and she's not going to move for a week.
Right. It's kind of like when you take a dog out of the water and they're still like kicking and swimming. I feel like that would be me, like doing it for that long. Yeah. You have to really love swimming. You have to really love something more than you love yourself in order to do it.
So do you think that's the... You feel like that's the draw for this movie? That's the, like, it brings you that feeling?
Oh, I think so. I think, you know, like I said, we need more sports, and it's always good to see lesbians, you know, in sport movies and just queerness, just queer people in general. And so I finally broke down and saw it, and I'm like, why didn't I watch this sooner? Like, why didn't I? It was probably Annette Bening, my initial feeling of not really liking her as an actor, but turns out I really do like her.
It's one that I meant to watch, and then I forgot, and Netflix stopped showing it as the featured thing when I was into it, and then I forgot it existed.
Yep, it's there. And of course, like, I watched it right around the time the Academy Awards was out, you know, so then I'm rooting for them. Let's go, get the award. And like, nothing I watched got awards. Like, all the movies I watched, none of them got awards.
Yeah,
and that makes me very sad because now I have to watch a whole bunch of movies that aren't queer. I know. Well, I don't have to, but I like to. I like to try to watch like best pictures. And let me tell you something.
Oh yeah,
Oppenheimer.
I didn't watch that one because it was so long and it looked boring.
I tried it twice. I tried it twice.
I might leave it alone. In that case.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a go a third time because. But there was also a movie that won last year. I think it was Everything Everywhere All at Once or something like that.
Oh, I liked that one.
I couldn't get through that movie. I tried so hard several times.
I might have missed one at the time.
Well,
who can say?
Maybe that's the answer.
I don't really do that much anymore. But also, there was a while last year. That was how I was able to sit through so many Bollywood movies. You just have an edible and then you're not getting off the couch anyway. So a 3-hour movie is no problem.
Yeah, it's timeless.
Yeah. So I recommend you try Oppenheimer with an edible and see what happens. Okay.
I might do that. Yeah, that is my official recommendation. What about yours? What is your official recommendation?
All right. So my official recommendation this week is London Ever After by Claire Lydon. Mm-hmm. It's a recent release. It is the 9th and final book of her London romance series. I know. Can you believe the series is finally over?
Wow. Yeah.
I know. This is like a beloved lesfic series. And I can say you really don't have to have read any of the other books. There are characters from some of the others that pop up. There's a scene towards the very end where there's a party and it like everybody gets kind of name dropped at once, which if you haven't read all the books is a little bit of whatever. It's one chapter. You can get past, and it's not even the whole chapter. Like, you can get past it pretty quickly. And I think for the people who have read all of them and have much better memories than me, I've read probably half or more than half of the series. So there were some that I was like, I've definitely read their book. And there were others where I was like, maybe I've read their book. And then there was yet a third category of I've definitely not read there. But this one you can definitely read on its own. And so Hannah Driver is one of the leads. She has just lost her job managing a juice bar. And when we first see her, we actually see her through the eyes of the other lead, Cordy Starling. And I actually found this scene really endearing because like Cordy is on the tube. They're in London. She looks across and she sees this incredible cleavage and then realizes this woman has two giant bags full of oranges. And what we learn is that Hannah got fired from managing a juice bar and is like, fuck you, I'm stealing as many oranges as I can, which I think is hilarious.
That is awesome.
Like, what an opening idea around a character.
You, I'm taking the oranges.
Yeah, right. You're gonna do this to me. I'm gonna take as many of these goddamn oranges as I can. Like, wonderful. And so like the timing for losing the job, it's never a good time to lose a job, but it's especially right. bad for her because she's trying to figure out, can I even keep paying the rent on this flat that I'm leasing? She originally leased it with her girlfriend, but her girlfriend left her like however many months before. And so she's like, well, I don't want to move. I'm definitely not moving back with my family. So even though it's a one bedroom, she's like, I'm going to get a roommate.
The one bed.
Well, so I thought it was going to be that. I really thought it was going to be that. But it turns out there was space somewhere else in the flat where they had like a dining room table and chairs because her girlfriend took that with her. So she puts her bed there and then puts a partition and like, fair enough. Cordy is the other character. She's a pianist. She's a music teacher. She's living with her grandmother and her grandmother's wife. She's so happy for her grandmother that she's been reunited with the love of her life after 60 years apart. But maybe she doesn't need to be reminded on the regular that her grandmothers have a more exciting sex life than she does. So she needs to get out. And she applies to this ad. Cordy and Hannah get along really, really well. And it's pretty cool because it's at the same time that Cordy moves in is when Hannah, she does her other job by night is actually she's a burlesque performer. But she decides that she wants to try to become a drag king. Mm. And so that's kind of the journey for her is becoming this drag king. But she's never believed in herself. And she really avoids sharing any part of herself with her family. She doesn't seem to have many friends. And she's just really afraid to like grab onto the life that she wants. She just lives this life of wanting, but being afraid. And so the question for this one is, can Hannah get out of her own way long enough to like grab onto this love that's like right there and the career of her dreams as Max Girth, drag king, superstar to be. Isn't Max Girth
Max
a great
Girth is
name
amazing.
For drag king?
I love it.
I know,
I
it's
love it.
So good. So I thought this was quite a fun way to cap off the series. And Hannah, I don't think it's going to be a surprise. Hannah has the biggest arc of the two, like in terms of character arcs. I thought she was a really interesting character because she has such low confidence in herself. She's afraid to show what she really wants and her true feelings with the people around her. But her main, like I said, her main job is as a burlesque performer named Velvet Minnelli. And then she's also going on this drag journey at the same time. And there's something about performing that gives her confidence that she doesn't feel as just Hannah. And it doesn't matter whether she's Velvet Minnelli or Max Girth. She has so much confidence as these characters. And even like she spends, because she's going into this competition where she stands to win. If she can make it through all four rounds, she'll win £5,000, which is a big fucking deal when you were like, I need to get a roommate or I will be homeless.
Right.
And so she's practicing being Max Girth, just kind of like walking around the flat with like a pair of socks and her pants and whatever. But she feels powerful, even just practicing. There's something there. And so it reminded me of, there's a bunch of times on Drag Race or in interviews or whatever that RuPaul has said that, you know, people think that when you get into drag that you're like putting on a persona, but actually drag helps you reveal yourself. Like through drag, you can get to know yourself better because it lets you tap parts of yourself that you weren't able to access before, you were afraid to go for before. And I think we really see that in this story. And I thought it was interesting because at the same time, Hannah is also figuring out her own gender. And when Hannah is Hannah, she, her pronouns are being used to talk about her. When Hannah is in drag as Max, he, him pronouns are being used. So, you know, she, her out of drag, he, him in drag, which is not unlike some of the drag queens like we see on Drag Race where, you know, some of them are he, him or they, them out of drag, she, her in drag for some of the queens. But Hannah's also trying to figure out her gender. And I appreciate that by the end, it's not really resolved. She's not sure, like she's identifying as a woman today, but she's open to the possibility that maybe she is non-binary. And I thought it was really great to see how drag and burlesque were like the two sides of the gender coin for her and really let her explore that in different ways while acknowledging that there's more to come in the future. In terms of the other things I liked, I really loved that there was this like instant friendship click between Cordy and Hannah. Like, yes, they were attracted to each other, but like there was just this really fast friendship that came first, even ahead of the romantic feelings. Mm-hmm. And Cordy right away is this like, no, I'm going to push you to kind of be your best self. And that nudge is coming right away with that competition and just says, this is one of my favorite lines of the whole book. And she says, here's the secret. You'll never be ready. Because Hannah was like, well, how can I possibly be ready? Like, I'm just figuring out who Max is. And it's like, well, but if you wait until you're ready, like, that's never going to come. And I think that's just one of those great life lessons. And it's just true. I did kind of want to shake the shit out of Hannah at a certain point, though. Because when they do start sleeping together, it's more of a friends with benefits situation.
Oh.
But also, like, they're kind of, they're obviously really feeling things for each other. And Hannah is more of the reason for it staying as a friends with benefits for a while. And I'm just like, but you love her, you dumbass. You useless, useless lesbian. Can you please, please acknowledge your feelings? And so I thought, like, it was a very real fear that made sense for why they were afraid to rock the boat. Because if a relationship doesn't work out, they each have to find a new place to live. And neither of them can afford a place to live on their own. But also, like, there's a point at which you're like, dude, my friends, your delusion is too much. You need to just love each other. So Cordy, like I said, she has less of a journey to go on, but hers is, she still has one. And I think it was a good one because she's relatively new to living in London. Like even when she moved in, so the first step was living with her grandmothers. And so she's trying to establish her life there. So she's seeking belonging. She's trying to lay roots and we get to see her do that. One thing that I thought was especially cute and I really loved was that, like, right from the jump, the first, I think it's like the first evening they're hanging out, they want to get to know each other. And so they decide to just share, they would ask each other a question. It's like, tell me three things that, and it's this idea of sharing facts in threes. And sometimes they'll leave each other notes that have lists of three things, even until later on. Sweet. And I just, how cute, right?
That's sweet.
So I love that that's their thing. I'm choosing to believe it's always going to be their thing. I also found it quite funny in spots, and I'm going to try to find this one quote because why did I say it like that? Like a nerd. It's because I'm like in quote.
Quote.
It's because I'm stalling and I'm saying it slowly because I am in my Kindle act app.
Wow.
Here we go. Oh. And so this is getting ready as Max Girth fairly early on, trying to figure out what to do with the facial hair situation, what to paint on or not paint on. And says, do I go full beard or 5 o'clock shadow? Do I keep the mustache? All these choices men have to make on a daily basis. And Cordy says, poor them. It's incredible how they get through the day. I was like, yeah. And also, of course, there are other drag king names, which is a great place for humor. So Max Girth's mentor is Captain Von Strapp and dresses kind of like, you know, from the Von Trapp guy.
That is awesome. Yeah.
And then the other contestant who's kind of like the most formidable rival in it is called Sirloin of Beef, which...
A plus to the names, for sure.
I know. It's great, right? So the story ends, and I'm not telling you how their story ends as much as it's actually the recap for the whole series because it ends with a party. And one of the original couples, I think they're in the, if they're not in the first book, they're in the second book, but they're moving out of the neighborhood and they're moving out into kind of like one of the suburbs. They're still in the London area, but they're not in this kind of like central area anymore. And after spending 20 years there, they have a couple of kids. They want a bigger yard. It's that next phase of life. And so we see there. So it's almost like a passing of the torch. Their time is ending in London, but Cordy and Hannah are getting established in their new relationship. They're very happy and they're very loved up in this area. And I just thought it was a really fitting end in a very kind of full circle moment for the series. Yeah. So London Ever After is a very, it's a lovely, it's a happy book. I definitely recommend it as a standalone, but also if anyone is looking for a really great series where a new couple gets together in every book. Also, I recommend the London Romance series. Like I said, I've read about half or more than half. I've enjoyed all the ones I've read. I really should catch up on the rest and I will at some point. But yeah. Check them out because they're wonderful.
Sounds like it.
that is all for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us as always. If you've enjoyed the show, if you haven't subscribed yet, why not? No, I mean, wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you do subscribe so you get notified when we release an episode every other Tuesday. Like I said at the beginning, if you have a friend that you think would like the show, please tell them all about it. If you would like to support us, we have the links in our show notes to our Ko-fi where you can send money, our newsletter sign up on Substack, which you can absolutely sign up for free. That will always remain free.
Yay. Or if you want to connect with us on your favorite social media sites, we have links in the show notes for that as well. Or you can just search for Queerly Recommended on most social media sites or email us at podcast@queerlyrecommended.com. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.